हरि ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 15. One should be careful to eliminate the third type of inattention, distraction. From distraction, all types of inattention are born. This fault resides in attraction for women, or men in the case of women, and wealth, attraction for material success or victory, desire for position, and cheating propensity. If one has attraction in any of these categories, one will naturally be inattentive to the Holy Name. One should be careful to eliminate these fixations by following the proper Vaishnava behavior. On Ekadasis and appearance days, one should stop thinking of eating and all day and night chant in the association of devotees. In this way, one will joyfully engage in devotional activities, listening to scriptures of the Lord in the association of the Lord's servants in the Lord's Dham. Gradually, the bhakti portion of one's mind will increase, and the mind will rejoice in hearing topics about Krishna. The higher taste will come, and the lower taste will go. Upon hearing songs about Krishna from the mouths of pure devotees, one's mind and ears will taste the real nectar. In this way, the desire for low material objects will disappear, and the heart will be constantly fixed and attracted to singing the name. By avoiding the offense of distraction, one will be able to indulge in the nectar of the name. One should thus never be inattentive to complete one's prescribed number of daily rounds. This should be noted day by day. When chanting these prescribed rounds, one should avoid the different types of inattentiveness, giving up the desire to increase the number of rounds for show. One should attempt to first concentrate nicely on what one can manage. Therefore, the devotee starts by chanting with full concentration in a peaceful place for a short time. He will always be praying to the Lord that he will chant clear, attentive rounds, with a mind fixed on Krishna. For on one's own, one cannot accomplish anything. Right? So it's by the Lord's grace. Means you're going to, you have the desire, you're trying to do this, but you're dependent upon the Lord that it will happen. Right? So you have fixed, you know what to do, you make that endeavor, but it's the Lord who gives the results. We don't remove the anartas, right? Krishna does. But we have to want to remove it, and we have to try to act in a way, you know, that is appropriate. Krishna's grace is necessary to cross the ocean of material existence. Being anxious in heart, one should beg for mercy, and because Krishna is merciful, he will help. Whoever does not try for that mercy is very unfortunate. And so we should be trying for it. To not try for it, then that's an unfortunate situation, Haridas Thakur said. So this is that you're attracted to the material things. Right? So that's distraction. Because from that, then you'll become inattentive. Does that make sense? Inattentiveness, then we're just not thinking of Krishna. You know, whatever is there in the mind is just going like this. Or laziness, we don't have that focus to chant. We do other things or do nothing like that. Does that make sense?
I think there is a relation between if you are attentive in chanting, you are also attentive in other activities of the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Means the point is attentive, you know, it's just like being conscious is being conscious. Then you're Krishna conscious. So we're attentive to Krishna.
But I say attentive to reading, to what we are doing, to working.
Yes, but then that, yes. So by Krishna's grace, then that will be there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that. That's the things we always have to avoid, is that the idea is that, okay, to chant I must be attentive, so then I go through, you know, attentiveness exercises and take up some kind of, you know, mundane process, whatever may be around. It's a matter of, it's a focusing on the name. It's by Krishna's grace that this will happen. Because the other one, yes, if you put in that endeavor, then Krishna will give you that. But to be able to use that for Him,
yes,
that's another thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So. Number 10, attachment to I and mine. Overcome with prema, Haridas recited the last offense in chanting the holy name. Listen, my Lord, this offense is the lowest of all. With this offense, one cannot get prema. It is the attitude which is exactly opposite to surrender to the Lord. Having extirpated the first 9 offenses, the devotee should culture full surrender to the name. According to the scriptures, there are 6 types of surrender, which are impossible to explain in detail. In brief, they are as follows. 1. Accepting everything favorable for service to the Lord. 2. Rejecting everything unfavorable for service to the Lord. 3. Having faith in Krishna as one's protector. 4. Knowing that Krishna is one's preserver and maintainer. 5. Thinking oneself as low and worthless. 6. Being self-surrendered. One does not culture these attitudes while chanting. One will simply accumulate material in life. Those things which always help increase devotion should be accepted in one's life with relish. Those things which impede devotion should be rejected in disgust. One should believe that other than Krishna, there is no one in whom to depend, and that Krishna alone is one's maintainer. Right? The other things aren't going to take care. It's Krishna. So we're just absorbing ourselves in service, surrendering to Krishna. That's what makes the process work. Right? Yeah. One should think that one is very low and unqualified, with no possessions, right? Because we may think that, yes, I'm so intelligent, or I'm so qualified, or I can do so many big, big things, or this or that. No, no. We're just servants. By Krishna's grace, we may have these abilities, but they're not actually ours, because we're not the body. Like if we say, no, but I'm so good at a certain thing. But the point is that's a combination between the body and mind. It's not the soul. So actually, we're not. Right? So that means those things that are working are by Krishna's grace. So now, so then one has to use those in Krishna's service. Now you have the aspect is, we can say, yes, but I can use this in Krishna's service. So therefore, but the point is why are we here? Right? If we're so great, why are we here?
Mystic.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. As an eternal servant of Krishna, one will be willing to do anything that Krishna desires. And to believe that one is the doer, the giver, the protector, that one owns his body, house, wife, and offspring, to think oneself to be a Brahmin or a Shudra, husband or wife, king or citizen, this should all be rejected. Instead, centering one's thoughts on Krishna, one should think of Krishna as the controller and doer, and that Krishna's desire is the main thing. One will do as Krishna desires, not as one independently wants to do. Quote, by Krishna's wish, I will stay in this world, and by Krishna's wish, I will cross over it. There is pain, if there is rejoicing, still I am Krishna's servant. By His will, He will give mercy to the jivas. My material enjoyment and renunciation are all dependent on Krishna. When this attitude is present, it's called Atmanivedanam, or self-surrender. So it's just, whatever is there, whatever we can do, it's all by Krishna's grace. So we're just surrendered to Krishna. So however Krishna wants, we're trying to serve, we're trying to engage ourselves, and then whatever results, whatever effects, whatever experiences, that's up to Krishna. When these 6 types of sharanagati, full surrender, are not present in an individual, he possesses the intelligence of I and mine. Such a person is considered a low rascal because he believes that he is the doer, that this world is his, that he is the creator of his destiny and the enjoyer of the fruits of his activities, that he is his own protector and maintainer, that these are his wife, brothers, sons, and daughters, and by his own endeavor he can achieve all perfection and glory. Such people are proud of the power of their own knowledge, not considering the Lord's control. They think that by their own brain they can increase and extend the arts and sciences. Right? So we see is that this has always been the material mentality. But we can see in the contemporary, it's very much alive. These things are all brought out. Yes, you can do, you're great, you're special, you're, you know, all this kind of stuff. So now we may say that, oh, but if I do this, I become inspired, and then, you know, then I can do so much. But the only point is the only thing is then, yes, then we're doing, rather than we're doing things for Krishna. It's about Krishna. So we have to be very, very careful. That's why we're very wary of any of these, you know, any systems other than the chanting of the holy name. Because by these other systems, they can distract you from Krishna. Right? And by the distraction means they bring out the I and mine. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just, so all these contemporary things you see is they're based on being comfortable with, you know, I and mine. You know, it's like, you know, you've grown up, haven't been so good at things or something like that, so others harass or you don't really get the position, but, you know, why do you care for them? You are, you know, you're, you know, you be yourself, be, you know, be happy in yourself and all this and that, but they're not talking about the soul. And so then all they're doing is increasing, giving you confidence in I and mine. Right? That makes sense? So that's why then these contemporary kind of mentalities, moods, and techniques aren't actually that important. We may say, well, we'll engage them, but the thing is where is that engagement in pure devotion? Because in the whole conversation, where's the discussion of pure devotion? So,
you know, right, at a certain moment, you need to stop to see the I in mind.
Yes.
At a moment, you see.
Yes, that it just means I am servant and everything's Krishna's. So it doesn't mean that the body changes, or the mind, or the intelligence, or the power of our senses, or our skills. That all remains the same. It's just that we're not these. This is what I have. You know, it's like you go into the kitchen. You're not the ingredients in the kitchen, but according to what's in the kitchen, that's what you can cook. You don't have to be the potatoes. You are the potatoes. Be the potatoes. You know, to cook the potatoes and the, you know, that's the whole point is, the more you understand that we're not these things, then they're just tools to use in Krishna's service, then the more clear you can actually look at them. Because when there's attachment and mundane identity, then illusion is there, ignorance is there. So how well will one do? So
even though these people who are doing all of this, taking Western instruments, their first and last argument is that, look, our karma phala tyag we are doing X number of achievements for the society. So let us be.
Means it, yeah. That's okay, but then they should let everybody else be also. See, the point is if you want to do this and you're able to engage it, great. But don't profess it. Don't turn it into seminars. Don't try to educate people in it. You know, if it works, we use it. But don't take it, the acharyas have already given the process. Because the point is okay, you're doing, but then how much do you think that I'm the doer?
Yes.
So then the difficulty comes at some point, what if people don't appreciate? You know, or things don't work out, or something happens. You know, because if it's you're the one that's doing in all this, then the thing is yes, then you should do. But then when things don't go your way, then it's also just you. You did it, now it went wrong. Or if people aren't supporting, what do you need their support on? You're the doer. You know what I'm saying? Before, when you were the doer, successful doer, they were just instruments. So why is it suddenly now they have to be the support? No, they're still just instruments. You know what I'm saying? There's no consistency. It's just what, making yourself the center in whatever way you can. So if you're inspired, great. But the point is the difficulty is the false ego and these other things at some point will have to go. So yes, in the very beginning people may use that, that's fine. But understand it's a beginning position, it's not an advanced position. You know, as I say, being a professional is not an advanced position, that's a beginning position. Right? You have an identity, you use it, you engage it, great. But at some point you have to give up that identity. So that all has to go. So to start to profess it, to say this is the way it is, and then anything else that's not up to the professional standard is not up to the devotional standard. You can't use it as the measurement. You know, you can't measure transcendence with Maya. So that's the difficulty. Is that fine if somebody actually is doing, they're inspired, they're doing big service, that's good. But everyone has to know that you have to be aware of what's pure devotion, and it's not ideal, but that's all you can use now, and that's what's doing, and then work it out with Krishna. You know, you have to pray, you have to surrender to Krishna. And then if you keep up that attitude and keep up that stableness and service, then the heart gets purified and these things will start to reduce. So you don't have to get that praise. You don't have to be, you know, recognized. You don't have all these things. And then after a while, you can just do it because it's nice, you know. And then it's nice for Krishna, right? It's your duties, and then it becomes nice for Krishna. So instead of passion and ignorance, then it's working in goodness, then it's working in pure goodness. But all the while, you understand what's the correct thing, and you're trying for that, whether you're successful or not. You know, one depends on Krishna. Right? Being self-surrendered. Krishna is the protector, preserver, maintainer. Because otherwise, if you think I'm the one, then when things go south, you have to preserve, you have to protect, you have to maintain. And we're not, so it's... You know, I mean, if you look in history, who are the big guys who thought themselves special that didn't go south on them? Yeah, that's the point. So, even King Arthur didn't go so good. Right? Yeah, so it's just, you know, who did? You know, so that's why you have to surrender to the Lord. It's the material world. Things don't work out so great. So then these six symptoms of surrender, that's what you're practicing. And if you need, you know, that's what the point is you have the big attitude, the big ego, then do big stuff. Great. But the point is at some point you have to understand it's by the Lord's grace. Otherwise, then it will come and bite you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the fun part. Quote, if these people hear the glories of the name, they do not believe them. Or if they do chant Krishna's name, it is only out of social custom. Being pretenders and cheaters, they may chant the name in Hela Namabhas, but will never get prema. This offense is due to being bound tightly by Maya, and deliverance is very difficult. However, one can see that there are some people who, taking up the name and reaching to the level of Shuddha Bhakti, have completely given up material attachment and humbly worship Krishna's lotus feet and sing his name. One should seek out this type of person, take his association, and serve him with the desire to give up material attachment. Right? So even if you have all these attachments, but you seek out people that don't have them, that are advanced in devotional service, by that association, then you get inspired that it can be done. Right? Because otherwise we're doing things because of false ego, but they're doing things not because of false ego, so that means it's possible. Gradually one will become fixed in the name, and I and mine will go away as one transcends attachment to Maya. Giving up the false mentality, one will culture full surrender, which is the constitutional position of the jiva and the very nature of bhakti. By this one can get prema. One who gives up the 10 offenses and performs devotional service correctly is the most fortunate in the three worlds, is full of all good qualities, and is qualified for getting Krishna's mercy. While chanting the holy name, very soon, by Krishna's mercy, that person will come to the level of bhava and prema. The Lord has stated himself that whoever takes the name without offense will attain prema, and whoever takes the name without giving up the offenses will never attain pure bhakti in spite of his practices. The practice of gyan, because the point is when one can say, oh, but they're chanting, why isn't it going away? It's because of desire. Because as it said, Krishna makes it happen. for us to be able to give up the offenses, or for us to be able to give up the attachments and distractions, it's Krishna. But we have to want that. We have to know that prema is the goal. To get to prema, you have to get to bhava. To get to bhava, then you have to practice sadhana and come to pure bhakti. To do that, then you have to give up the 10 offenses. Right? So it's by Krishna's grace we can do this. That's the whole point. The practice of jnana gives liberation, and fruitive activities give material enjoyment. But pure Krishna bhakti and prema are available only by correct execution of sadhana bhakti. And correct means that attitude, that six symptoms of surrender. Right? And then in that, doing what's favorable, you chant, you absorb yourself, giving up what's unfavorable, you give up the offenses. Like that. Right? As liberation and material enjoyment are both unsatisfying, and as bhakti is the only solution, the real form of liberation and the glory of the soul, the jiva, must attain bhakti. By carefully performing sadhana bhakti without any offenses, the creeper of bhakti will quickly yield the fruit of prema. To do sadhana carefully means to do it without the 10 offenses, right? So there's giving that definition. It's not the technique and this and that. It's doing it without offenses. Right? And so you're accepting what's favorable, so you're performing the activities. You're giving up what's unfavorable. But the main thing is the attitude that's there. Because we see is that it starts off here with you're accepting everything favorable, you're rejecting what's unfavorable.
Yes.
Right? And so then technically you're following the rules and regulations, you know, of what you should do and what you should not do. Then we see the next is having faith in Krishna as one's protector, knowing that Krishna is one's preserver and maintainer. Then that you see is now as an understanding. Right? Instead of that, I'm doing it and all this, it's just a matter of, no, it's Krishna is the one who can do all this. So there's that aspect of surrender. Then you see 5 and 6, thinking oneself as low and worthless and being self-surrendered, then is an attitude. So you're trying to get to an attitude. Right? Because that's being self-surrendered is because of an attitude. So that's the whole thing that one's trying to develop. But to get there, then, you know, that means then you have to have that element of understanding Krishna's taking care. And to do that, then you have to understand what we do and what we don't do, and to give up those things that are not useful, like the offenses. Does that make sense? So, in the beginning, there must be a little bit of this 5 and 6, because you start there. You hear about how we're the soul that. Then you try to surrender. You understand that we're not the big, you know, how you say, person that we thought before. And that's why we're frustrated, because we're not, it's not working out as big as we want it to be. You know? Then, understanding that, we see bhakti is the solution. So therefore, then we take up accepting those things favorable and rejecting those unfavorable. You understand? So you're starting with that attitude has to be there in the beginning, but that has to be cultivated throughout. So it starts with that, and then that matures into prema. Therefore, whoever is desirous of attaining bhakti will take the name, being attentive to avoid each of the 10 offenses, and in his heart fervently begging at the feet of the holy name, give mercy to destroy offenses. One can never be released from offenses against the name by pious chitta or pious activity. It means there's nothing's going to work. Right? So then, you know, sometimes it's brought up as that, if we just have them just chant or this, then the community won't be comfortable. But then the whole point is that, so we're supposed to adjust the process for people who aren't following the process? You understand? So who's educating this community? We're talking community. Does that mean, what does that mean? You know, is the benefit from the community, meaning, I don't know what the name is, but there's something where a set amount of money they give every month from their income? There's a technical name for it. Sorry? Nitya Seva. That's in the that's in the Sanskrit, but it's a Christian concept.
Tithing.
Yes. So it's coming up like that, as community means money. So then if you only have to communicate that way and just make it work like that, then you understand what I'm saying? Because the other one is, it's actually part of, you know, your sadhana and that, and you want to give, like Rupa Goswami is recommended and everything like that. But that's an attitude. And then with that attitude, therefore, then you try to see if your money is divided up. Does that make sense? You know, and if you're doing that a regular thing for the fact, then it has that aspect of the nitya seva, it comes to that. But then that's an attitude of devotion, rather than just, okay, I'm part of this community, so therefore, here's my obligation. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to go beyond that, is that this community, it's about training. You know, so, okay, they either have programs at the temple, train there, or if not, go out to the community and train there, or both. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like I think in the kind of the Radhanath Maharaj is seen as Monday through Friday, you go out to the community, and Saturday, Sunday, they come to the temple. You know, that kind of thing. Because, you know, they're working, so they can't always come like this. So you go out to different places in the place, in the city, and wherever that some group of devotees are, they come to that program, and another one come to that program. So that way, but then on the weekends, they're free, so then they come to the temple. And you have big programs and nice things and like that. So that's cultivation of community. But otherwise, just to just pander, that's what's that got to do with anything? Okay. Therefore, whoever is desirous of bhakti, okay, no, wait a minute, chanting day and night, feeling repentant, the offenses will go and the fruit of the name will come. One will get Shuddha Nam, then Bhava Nam, then Prema Nam. Finally, to keep the offenses from entering the heart, pray for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who is absorbed in the nectar of the name. Right? Lord Chaitanya means you're supposed to associate with those who are absorbed in chanting. Lord Chaitanya is absorbed in chanting, so then getting his mercy, then you can move forward. Right? And therefore his associates. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has become the recipient of the Leelas of devotion by the grace of Haridas, sings eagerly the touchstone of the holy name. Right? So this is from Harinam Chintamani. So these are the instructions of Haridas Thakur on the 10 offenses.
Okay. Here, on the feet of the holy name.
The feet of the holy name.
Yeah, feet of the holy name. For the first offense, we understand that if we offend the devotees, then we can take, we can ask the forgive at the lower stage, because they are the chanters. And how can we understand in the other offenses?
It mentioned there are different things. It means in all of them, if by having good association, then things will start to work. Right? This one goes where? Okay, so no, but I'm just saying, okay, because it's a separate. So in the future, they'll print it into it. Okay. So each one, but basically you see is that having that understanding of what is the proper standard and how, you know, and that taking association of devotees, surrendering to the Lord, playing to the Lord, dependency on the Lord, then these start to make things work. That's the basic. Right? But otherwise, if you look back at it, a few of them, it says something specific for it. But otherwise, it always comes down to basically just being Krishna conscious. Because that's the solution. Bhakti is the only solution. Right? So it's not that there's a separate paischitta. That's the point. It's chanting the holy name. That's in the association of devotees. That's the only thing that'll make it work. So? Okay, chapter 9. Further considerations of devotional principles. 121. Not tolerating criticism of the Lord or his devotees. From verse 42, it is shown in the 10th canto. Anyone who fails to leave that place immediately where he hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down bereft of his pious credit. Right? It's not that, oh, he's saying it. It doesn't, no, but you're hearing it. Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 74, 40. Srila Prabhupada. Blasphemy. One should not tolerate blasphemy of the Lord or his devotees. In this connection, in the 10th canto, 74th chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami tells Pariket Maharaj, "My dear king, if a person, after hearing blasphemous propaganda against the Lord and his devotees, does not go away from that place, he becomes bereft of the effect of all pious activities." Right? So if your pious activities go, that means you're only left with the sinful ones. And there, as we've seen in the previous, that they're not really recommended as useful in Krishna service. So, yeah. So it's not good. In one of Lord Chaitanya Shikshastra verses, it is stated, quote, "The devotee should be more tolerant than the tree and more submissive than the grass. He should offer all honor to others, but may not accept any honor for himself." End quote. In spite of Lord Chaitanya's being so humble and meek as a devotee, when he was informed about injuries inflicted on the body of Sri Nityananda, he immediately ran to the spot and wanted to kill the offenders, Jaga and Madhav. This behavior of Lord Chaitanya's is very significant. It shows that a Vaishnava may be very tolerant and meek, forgoing everything for his personal honor, but when it is the question of the honor of Krishna or his devotee, he will not tolerate any insult. There are three ways of dealing with such insults. If someone is heard blaspheming by words, one should be so expert that he can defeat the opposing party by argument. Right, so that's one. If he is unable to defeat the opposing party, then the next step is that he should not just stand there meekly, but should give up his life. The third process is followed if he is unable to execute the above-mentioned two processes, and this is that one should leave the place and go away. The devotee does not follow any of the above-mentioned three processes. He falls down from his position of devotion. So the point is, if you're in a position that you could speak and defeat their argument, you do that. If not, go away. Right? Like that. So that's the basic thing, right? No one's going to bring up, but isn't there a four?
There is one more.
Yes?
That you cut the tongue.
Oh, okay. And so then, is that the... and you always have your trusty knife, your sword with you, and all that. So in other words, who cuts out their tongue?
The king.
The king, yeah, okay. So then, so if you're not a king walking around with a sword, then best leave that one. That's the fun part, right? Of all the four, that one will be remembered. You know, you say we went through it, that there's three processes. And then it says we finish, and it's just kind of like it's lurking there, just waiting. Yeah.
If you're not bothered in any way, these three, you have some botheration. The fourth one is just...
yeah, so it's whatever works. The point is they should stop speaking badly. Like that. So... If it's such that it's a general assembly and people are talking and saying stupid stuff, just leave. You're not obliged to be there. Right? If you're in a position, you could say something and defeat them in the argument, you know, or tell them if they don't stop talking, you're going to cut their tongue out. And if that shuts them up, then hey, nice, okay. But otherwise, then, yes.
Maharaj, when you face people outside the community, it is straightforward. You can understand, and then it's in one sense much easier to get out. But the criticism that happens being in the community, it's like more or less we are looted.
You can still always walk out.
We are looted, and after some time you realize how actually...
So then just be determined not to get involved in those things anymore. And if it comes up, you just learn. There's a vibe. It's just like you spent time in Calcutta, no? Now, can you tell when things are going to go crazy in mass? But when do you know? When it's all the riots already happening? Or you can feel that move beforehand?
Yes.
So it's the same thing. As soon as you feel that it's going that way, you just leave. So that's all. So that's... In other words, Calcutta is great training for that aspect. Like that. You can feel it on the street. You just go the, and whichever is wherever, and you can feel where the epicenter is. And wherever that is, just go the other way. You know, it's not that there's a specific, no, just the other way. Like that. And then things work out. Because everyone else goes towards the epicenter, so if you're going the other way, they won't bother you. They won't say, no, no, hey, hey, the riot's this way. You know, they're not going to. Yeah. They don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And so when it comes up, and either you say something or you don't, and if they ask why, it says, you know, I'm not into that. And if they make it, then just, hey, find new sets of friends. Remember, it's whatever city you're in, especially in India, there are literally millions of other people. So it's not that without these guys, you won't have any friends. You know? Makes sense? Yeah, I think it's an American, maybe just an Anglo-Saxon thing, but there's a saying of, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Yeah, right? You have one like that? Is it used in England?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But it's like that. So that makes sense? You have something like that here? Okay, you can extend it. With community like this, who needs enemies? So in other words, just find someone else. Because the point is this thing of finding fault and this and that. It's a typical pastime because, how you say, there's that sense inherent in the jiva, there's the sense of justice. But if that's applied on the material platform, then we'll apply it by secondary aspects, rather than look at it from the primary and how it connects to Krishna or not, or what's trying to be done. Because even if there is something wrong, you should be pointing out what's not connected to Krishna and how it should be. And then you just discuss about Krishna. Because unless you're in a position to do something about that, like, you know, personally take responsibility to correct the situation of the person, then what's the point of talking about it? You know what I'm saying? It's just talk. You know, it's just like, let's say it's time for, us or whatever, some political situation, right? Somebody's running for an office, or some big person has done something. Now at every corner, where, you know, where the taxis are hanging out, with a pawn shop, at the tea shop, at, you know, anything like that, are people not sitting and discussing what should have happened, what they should have done, and all that, right? And so according to them, it's so easy to run the country and do all these things and the economy and all that. You know, and that's why they're driving a taxi or running a pawn shop, because they're just so expert in these, you know, world, you know, how you say, you know, policies. Right? Yeah. So like that. It's just the ability to try to find fault, it starts to become perverted. Rather than saying, okay, the natural thing is just means it's right. Right means it's for Krishna. So then you follow what is right for Krishna. And so it's just you naturally do that. Right? Does that make sense? But when it comes to the material world, it starts to get distorted. Does that make sense? So the living entity is going to do this, but it's just a matter of whether it's done in connection with Krishna and finding what's the right way to serve Krishna. Or then whatever is their conditioned values, then whatever, they're going to look there for faults. Does that make sense? You know, someone's practical, so what's not practical, they'll criticize. You know, someone's values, you know, intelligence, so whatever's not intelligent or logical, then they'll say, then that's wrong. You know, if it's not valuable for, let's say, social mobility, then that would be wrong. Wherever the value is, in other words, they're applying the method of what's right for pleasing Krishna, and because that's covered, now they just right for whatever is their value. Does that make sense? So it's always going to be there. So that's why you choose association where that kind of application is going to be useful in Krishna consciousness. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's an advantage. If you have a community of, you know, 10,000 devotees, and you only hang out with 2, 3, 4, 5, then, you know, you shift it over. Okay, out of 10,000, then, how you say, these 5, you know, we won't hang out with so much. Right? So that leaves you 9,995 others you can try. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. And if they get grumpy that, oh, you don't this or that or don't, you know, fit in, that means anybody in their circles that they talk to, then those doors have been closed to, you know, to your benefit. Right? So then you know, so who doesn't think like that, then just makes it easier. One, two, 1:22. But the point is don't, as we saw before, don't blaspheme devotees and don't tolerate others doing it, right? Because otherwise we saw, we don't do it, but then, you know, it might be if others do it, what do I care? No, but here it's that you just don't, you don't hear. 1:22. Wearing the marks of the Vaishnava from verse 84 shown in the Padma Purana. Those Vaishnavas who have Tulsi beads, lotus seed beads, and japa beads around their necks, who have their shoulders marked with the signs of conch and chakra, and who have tilak on their foreheads, quickly purify the earth. Srila Prabhupada, tilak and Tulsi beads. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement describing how a Vaishnava should decorate his body with tilak and beads. Quote, persons who put Tulsi beads on the neck, who mark the 12 places of their body as Vishnu temples with Vishnu's symbolic representations, the four items held in the four hands of Lord Vishnu, conch, mace, disc, and lotus, and who have Vishnu tilak on their foreheads, are to be understood as the devotees of Lord Vishnu in this world. Their presence makes the world purified, and anywhere they remain, they make that place as good as Vaikuntha. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. The beads may be made of tulsi wood or the ripe seeds found in the center of the lotus. Akshamala means a string of beads named Aksha because one can count from the first syllable of the alphabet to the last, Ksha, footnote 32. Aksha also refers to Rudraksha beads used by followers of Shiva. Akshamala would then originally be used for japa. Okay. Yeah, so devotees would chant on it. If you have tulsi, then that's the best. But it says Vaishnavas in general. So for many, they don't use tulsi as much as we do. Like for neck beads, because here is that it mentioned about the conch and lotus and disc and club, that marking the body with those. So you have in the tradition when the punch is samskar, then what part of the samskar is they have symbols of these in metal, and they heat them in the initiation fire, and then after then they brand on the shoulders. That way, then you know you've been initiated. You know people know you've been initiated, and you also know who's not been initiated. So if someone like a Buddhist comes into the temple posing as a Vaishnava, you know he's not because he does not have the symptoms of the Vishnu. So that's called tapa. That's the first part of the Panchasamskara, the initiation. So then by Lord Chaitanya's grace, then that's done with tilak. But for us specifically, the neck beads, then they show, indicate that of tapa, the material world is a place of misery. Right? So then if you're wearing tilak and neck beads, it already includes the decorations, the conch and club. Does that make sense? Like that. So we wear them all the time. Because for us, that's tapa. But you'll see the other sampradayas, at least the mudras and the shris, the Vaikuntha, you know, kind of the mood. They don't. They only wear tulsi during puja. So they won't wear tulsi at other times. They put them on, do the puja, and then take them off. Like that. But we wear them all the time because they were having the conch and club. Okay. So that's there. Because sometimes they may ask why you wear the tulsi beads in the bathroom, because they won't do that. But that's our you know, that's our tapa. It's also known as mudra. So for us, that's mudra, is the neck beads. So that makes sense. So in there, it's done. So for them, they might be chanting on lotus seeds because it says for Vaishnavas. But the Gaudiyas specifically, then they use tulsi. Like that. So it's not that everybody uses.
Like
Neem? Neem, yeah, it's also nice because it's connected to Lord Chaitanya, so it's nice. Right? Sometimes easier to get a hold of. Okay. especially if you're buying a sack of them. One, two, 123. Wearing the syllables of the name from verse 84 shown in the Skanda Purana. The servants of Yama will not touch those who have names of Hari on their body, who have Gopi Chandan Tilak on their foreheads, and who have Tulsi beads on their chests. Srila Prabhupada. A similar statement is in the Skanda Purana, which says, quote, persons who are decorated with Tilak or Gopi Chandan, kind of clay resembling fuller's earth, which is produced in certain quarters of Vrindavan, and who mark their bodies all over with the holy names of the Lord, and on whose necks and breasts there are Tulsi beads, are never approached by the Yamadutas. End quote. The Yamadutas are the constables of King Yama, the Lord of Death, who punishes all sinful men. Vaishnava is never called for by such constables of Yamaraj. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.26-29, in the narration of Ajamiyo's deliverance, it is said that Yamaraj gave clear instructions to his assistants not to approach the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj's activities. Right? So he doesn't take this whole thing of going to Yamaraj and then according to your activities, being, you know, getting good facilities or not, that devotees don't, it's not, that's not how it works. Like that. They just are, you know, go back to Godhead or transferred to wherever in the universe by Krishna's arrangement. The Yamadutas aren't involved. Right, so how do they tell? They tell by the Tulsi beads and all these other things. Otherwise, if they can't see, then they may take someone. Right? Yeah. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Gopi Mridantikam means tilak made of Gopi Chandan. 1.2.126. So for us, then, it's specifically we use this Gopi Chandan. Like that. But others may also use Chandan or something like that. You know, it's been 1.2.124. It is said in the Padma Purana as well. He who has the syllables of Krishna's names marked on his body with Chandan, after purifying this world, attains the planet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. The Padma Purana also mentions a person whose body is decorated with a pulp of sandalwood, with paintings of the holy name of the body, is delivered from all sinful reactions. And after his death, he goes directly to Krishna Loka to live in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so decorated with this is that you have all the markings of the Vaishnavas, and then you have the remnants from the deities or other things like this, yes. And so on. Yes.
When there is a cremation, you know, what is it? Before the cremation, you put a tilak, everything.
Yes.
Yeah. This has some influence in the future.
Some influence means?
Influence means there is something is. If it is more auspicious to have that thing.
Well, it's what devotees wear, so then naturally.
Yeah. But after he left the body. That is.
Because it's connected with, you know, so that's why then the body is burned or like this, so that they don't have that connection to hang around. But yeah, but it says, I think if you burn the body with Tulsi, then it's equal to making an offering, you know, as you know, the volume of Mount Meru and all that. So it's very auspicious for the person. So in India, then it's the neck beads are there anyway, so like that. So then you always just see that they're wearing.
How did some devotees, they wear the mark of the Chandan from Radha Kund? Is that something advisable?
You can wear. We generally don't wear, but you can wear. It's not that it's wrong. You know, it's mud from it's from Vrindavan, so it's the dust from Vrindavan. It's just the Gopi Chandan is very traditional for us. But if they wear that, then they can. I mean, I think it's Vishnu Swami's Rudra, right? Sampradaya?
Mm.
Yeah? I think that's Sampradaya. I think they use the, in Vrindavan, they use the Radhakund mud. That's their kind of thing.
Vallabh
Yeah. Like that. Vallabhs and, you know, the those following Haridas. And you can use. But it's not so. I mean, at one time, remember when the boys first went to Vrindavan, Parikram, and, you know, they'll go around and the guys are selling it, they'll pick it up, and the next day they're all wearing it and this and that. But probably wasn't overly impressed, so it kind of faded by the wayside? Yeah, wayside. Yeah, yes.
In regards to
Tulsi here,
in the West it's not possible that you need to include the word in the cremation.
They can't wear the neck beads.
No, I'm talking about, for example, Tulsi here.
But why? What? But the neck beads aren't Tulsi? Why can't they wear Tulsi neck beads?
But on the occasion that body has not been allowed to wear the neck beads.
But why would they not allow them to wear neck beads? They can wear a suit and a tie, and they can put their rings on and this and that, and they can put on makeup. Why can't they wear neck beads?
In some instances, it's not always allowed by the family of the departee. So instead,
that's why it's an advantage for that departed person, because now he gets a new family that might allow next time.
But for example, if you could wood.
It just has to be something there.
In the coffin itself.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, why not? Just stick it in their pocket. You know, generally, no one's going through their pockets unless they're somehow or another connected with Fagin or something. You know, then definitely they'll be going through the pockets. But then, because it's a piece of wood, they'll just leave it. So, yeah, just stick it in the pocket. They don't want the neck beads or this or that. They just stick something in the pocket, like that. And it's just the point is that it's there, and then afterwards, then the ashes. You can do something with the ashes, or. Yeah, I'm saying, because that's also another thing, then you put them in the Jamuna or Ganga, or put them in the ocean, or something like that. But whatever, you do the best you can, because the point is for the devotees, it's just things to help. It's not that makes it or breaks it for them. They won't go back to Godhead because the family didn't allow them to, or something like that. You know, they're already dead, they're gone. So it's just, does that make sense? So you do the best you can. These things are always helpful. But it's not that... These are secondary things that are just, you know, the practice. But it's not that, if they're not followed, that the person won't get full benefit. Does that make sense? Because they chanted. That's you remember Krishna, that's what makes it whether you go back to God. Then. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Because these are all ones talking about if they're alive.
Yes, yes.
They're doing these things, you know, then they get the benefit. You know, so you don't have to worry like that. And if it's someone who wasn't doing this stuff, then if you can put some, you know, some Ganga water or something like that, it's always a sukriti for them, like that. But if they were devotees, then you don't have to worry. You do the best you can. You know, like that. Okay. 1.2.125. Wearing the garlands used by the Lord from verse 84, shown in 11th canto. Simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, fragrant oils, clothes, and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusory energy. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.46. Srila Prabhupada. Accepting flower garlands. The next instruction is that one should put on flower garlands which are offered to the deity. In this connection, in the 11th canto, 6th chapter, verse 46 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava says to Krishna, "My dear Krishna, I have taken things which you have used and enjoyed, such as garlands of flowers, scented oils, garments, and ornaments, and I eat only the remnants of your foodstuff, because I am your menial servant. So, therefore, I am sure that I shall not be attacked by the spell of material energy." End quote. The purport of this verse is that for any person who simply follows these rules and regulations of decorating the body with the marks of tilak, of Gopi Chandan, or sandalwood pulp, and who puts on these garlands, which were offered to Krishna, There is no question of being conquered by the spell of material energy. The time of death, there is no question of such a person's being called by the constables of Yamaraj. Even if one does not accept all the Vaishnava principles, but still takes the remnants of foodstuff offered to Krishna or Krishna Prasad, he will gradually become qualified to rise to the platform of a Vaishnava. Jiva Goswami's commentary. So, you know, so anybody who has this, then they get benefit. They move forward. They take in Prasad and all that. Then they're not part of this whole regular rigmarole that Yamaraj and that Yamadutas take care of. Does that make sense? Because they've done some service. This is the statement of Uddhava. This statement also applies to Krishna's not personally present. Jaye Mahi means we can conquer. The two verses following this verse are: naked sages who seriously endeavor in spiritual practice, who have raised their semen upwards, who are peaceful and sinless members of the renounced order, attain the spiritual abode called Brahman. O greatest of mystics, although we are conditioned souls wandering on the path of fruit of work, we will simply cross beyond the darkness of this material world simply by hearing about your lordship and the association of your devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:6, 47-48. Tarish Yamaha here means we can cross over. Right? So there's that confidence, you see, that was mentioned before, that faith that this is the only process. It's the only thing that's necessary. So therefore, even though we're engaged just in the regular activities of day-to-day life, we're doing that in connection with Krishna. And so because of that, then we will cross over this material existence. 1:2, 1:26. It is also said in the Skanda Purana, O sage Narada, whoever touches the garlands offered to Krishna with his body becomes freed from all diseases and all sins. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, in the Skanda Purana, Lord Brahma tells Narada, My dear Narada, anyone who puts on his neck the flower garland which was formerly used by Krishna, who becomes relieved from all diseases, all disease and reactions to sinful activities. And gradually he is liberated from the contamination of matter. Right? So anything that's been offered to Krishna, and then we honor that, then there's always going to be a great benefit. 1:2, 1:27. Dancing before the deity, from verse 84. Shonandi Dwarka Mahatmya. He who joyfully dances with many emotions before the Lord burns up sins which have been committed for the duration of many hundreds of Manvantara periods. Right? So, 14 Manvantaras in a day. Right? And so then you say hundreds of them, you're talking about, you know, a long time. So it's the same kind of thing. Millions of lifetimes or hundreds of Manvantara periods like that. So the point is one gets great benefit from these things. What's the whole point? It's about anything connected to the Lord is what we're supposed to be doing. So if you do that, it's always going to be beneficial. Right? That's the natural position. So just imagine the position of those in the spiritual realm. They're the most pious, most fortunate individuals. They're just doing what they're naturally, supposed to do. So here, if we simply try to follow in the footsteps and try to engage ourselves in Krishna service, we get that same benefit. One 1:28. It is also said by Narada, all the birds of sin situated in the body fly away for those who dance before the Lord with vigorous clapping of the hands. Srila Prabhupada, dancing before the deity. In the Dwarka Mahatmya, the importance of dancing before the deity is stated by Lord Krishna as follows. A person who is in a jubilant spirit, who feels profound devotional ecstasy while dancing before me, and who manifests different features of bodily expression, can burn away all the accumulated sinful reactions he has stocked up for many, many thousands of years. In the same book, there is a statement by Narada wherein he asserts, quote, from the body of any person who claps and dances before the deity, showing manifestations of ecstasy, all the birds of sinful activities fly away upward. J. Just as by clapping the hands one can cause many birds to fly away, similarly the birds of all sinful activities which are sitting on the body can be made to fly away simply by dancing and clapping before the deity of Krishna. And so there's already this simple program that Prabhupada has given is already the most powerful. It's like we haven't come across anything that we don't actually do or is recommended to do. Or, how you say, yeah. 1229. Offering obeisances, verse 48, from the Naradiya Purana. The purificatory rites performed during 10 horse sacrifices cannot equal even one pranama offered to Krishna. A person who performs 10 horse sacrifices takes birth again. The person offering pranams to Krishna does not take birth again. Srila Prabhupada, bowing down in honor of the deity. In the Naradiya Purana, there's a statement about bowing down and offering respect to the deity. It is said there, a person who has performed a great ritualistic sacrifice and a person who has simply offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the deity cannot be held as equals. The person who has executed many great sacrifices will attain the result of his pious activities. But when such results are finished, he has to take birth again on the earthly planet. However, the person who has once offered respects, bowing down before the deity, will not come back to this world because he will go directly to the abode of Krishna. Right? So 10 ashrameda yagyas with one obeisance. Right? So just imagine how many, you know, tens of thousands of ashrameda yagyas have been done. Right? But this one will take you back to Godhead, while the ashrameda yagya will just end you up back here.
Sorry? It's a cheaper.
Yes. A lot cheaper, a lot easier.
Because
ten ashrameda yagyas would take, if you did it back to back, take 10 years. You can't do more than, you can only do one per year. Because just the ritual and all that, the way it's made, it takes so long to set up and arrange and do everything and, you know, all that. Yes? Okay, every step. Okay, yes.
Sleeping is obeisance as well.
Yeah, so even sleeping you're getting the benefit. Yeah. So I see why in the past the Vaishnavas would walk, right? You know, you get so much benefit. But, you know, yeah, that's the point. Just being in the, that's why I recommend it, by being in the Dham, you get so much benefit. You're in the Lord's Dham, you're associating with devotees, like that. One, two, 130. Rising when the deity approaches, from verse 85, from Brahmanda Purana. The person who rises up on seeing the Lord approaching on a palanquin will have all sins destroyed. Srila Prabhupada, standing up to receive the Lord. In the Brahmanda Purana it is said, quote, a person who sees the Lord's Rath Yatra cart festival and then stands up to receive the Lord can purge all kinds of sinful results from his body. So it's just a matter, because when somebody respectful comes, if you stand up, it maintains their life airs. If you stand up for the Lord, then that removes sin. Right, so it's just, it's, in other words, it's the appropriate thing to do in consideration of the Lord. Yes.
As most of these things are, like, unless somebody sees a direct connection with devotional service, they cannot understand or appreciate the point itself. Because, like, any of this we take, a person hankering for material facility, he will never be able to wait that what transcendental benefit you are getting. Just like a child, he sees only in terms of chocolates.
Yes. So what's the... Oh, so you're saying that's why he explains it here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if nothing else is that, okay, ashrameda yagya is good, and so that's very difficult. I can offer obeisances. That's like you said, cheaper. You know, so then...
Free.
Then,
free. It's free.
It's free, yeah. Yes. So, yeah. Being specific. It's free. And so then... you know, then they may get inspired. But eventually it's because it's pleasing the Lord. That's why it gets such a big deal. Because that's the natural activity of the living entity.
And most of this, if you are not aware of pleasing the Lord, at least by that sukruti, you get opportunity to...
Yes, yes. And at some point, then it'll build up. That's why it says it takes so many lifetimes to come to the platform of devotional service. Because people do all these unknown pious activities. They may be doing just because of the piety. But it's connected with devotional service, so after many lifetimes of that, then eventually they come in contact with the pure devotees and gain faith. Right? Then it becomes very nice. So one has that position of faith, that's very special. Okay. 1.2.131. Following after the Lord's possessions, from verse 85, from Bhavishotara Purana. All the outcasts who go along with the chariot, beside, behind, or in front of it, become similar to Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada. Following the deity. A similar statement is there in the Bhavishya Purana. Oh, so Bhavishyotara is the Bhavishya. Okay. In which it is said, quote, even if born of a lowly family, the person who follows the Ratha Yatra cart, when the deities pass in front or from behind, will surely be elevated to the position of achieving equal opulence with Vishnu.
No need to fight. No need to fight to go in front of them. People fighting that they have to catch it.
Yeah, you can just follow. Go with it. The consideration is you're going along with the procession.
Reflecting on how the Lord is so merciful that He's giving so much benefit for somebody, even an illiterate can get back to the spiritual world with just a very simple act. But on the other hand, the offenses also can be very, very extreme. It's tough. Either a person or an educated person goes back to his hometown and he happens to hear offenses, whatever advancement he has made.
No, but then the point is if he hears them and he leaves, then he doesn't lose anything. It's if he hears and stays, that's where the problem is. You see? It's that you heard, okay, that's not good, it's a bad situation. Now what do you do about that? So if you leave, then that's it. One, two, 132. Going to the places of the Lord. From verse 85. Stana means tirtha or temple. First going to the tirtha is illustrated. 1.2.133. In another Purana is said, the 2 feet which go to the tirtha of the Lord are praiseworthy, since they enable one to cross over the dangerous desert of samsara. It's so interesting here, it's called a desert. It's ocean because oceans are very difficult and you drown in them, right? You know, drowned in materials. But here it's a desert because there's nothing, no taste there. Srila Prabhupada. Going to the temple of Vishnu or to places of pilgrimage. It is stated in the Puranas, quote, persons who attempt to visit the holy places of pilgrimage, like Vrindavan, Mathura, or Dwarka, are actually glorified. By such traveling activities, they can pass over the desert of material existence. 1.2.134. Going to the temple is illustrated in Hari Bhakti Shudodaya. The intelligent person who enters the temple of Vishnu with devotion to see the Lord does not again enter the prison of a mother's womb. Srila Prabhupada. In the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, there's a statement about the benefit of visiting the temples of Lord Krishna. As we explained previously in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, The system is that all the devotees take advantage of visiting various temples situated in those holy places. It is stated in the Hari Bhakti Sutra Dohe, persons who are impelled by pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness, and who therefore go to see the deities of Vishnu in the temple, will surely get relief from entering again into the prison house of a mother's womb. End quote. The conditioned soul forgets the trouble of living within the mother's womb during birth, but it is a very painful and terrible experience. In order to make an escape from this material condition, one is advised to visit a temple of Vishnu with devotional consciousness. Then one can very easily get out of the miserable condition of material birth. Right, so you're always going to the Lord's place, then, you know that you want to go and you want to visit. That the point is then that qualifies you for going there, so you won't stay here. Right? The reason we're here is because we qualify to be here. Right? We have been materialistic enough, attached enough, that we qualify to be here. Right? So now if you start going to the temple and all that, you're going to the Lord's place. And by doing that with devotion, then you qualify to be there. You lose your qualification to be here. Not that that's a bad thing. One should not worry about that. You know, you shouldn't, well, can I keep, you know, for both places? Something like that. No. One 135. Circumambulation from verse 85 from Hari Bhakti Sutra Dohe. The person circumambulates Vishnu and returns to the same spot. That returning guarantees that he does not return to another birth. Right, so in other words, you don't start at one place and go around and end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, you go around and go back to the same spot. You start, you know, where you pray, then you go from there and you come back to that same spot. So by returning to that spot, you don't return here.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Srila Prabhupada, circumambulating the temple of Vishnu. It is said in the Hari Bhakti Sutra Dohe, quote, a person who is circumambulating the deity of Vishnu can counteract the circumambulation of repeated birth and death in this material world. The conditioned soul is circumambulating through repeated births and deaths on account of his material existence. And this can be counteracted simply by circumambulating the deity in the temple. So if you're going around, as mentioned, minimum three times, then you're coming back to the same place. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you don't make one and you kind of go off, then it may take you a little longer to complete that, that return. 1.2.136. In the Skanda Purana Chaturmasya Mahatmya, it is said, O best of the Brahmanas, those who circumambulate the Lord four times surpass the world of moving and non-moving creatures. This surpasses going to Tirthas. And is this continuous Srila Prabhupada?
Yes.
Okay, so then it should excel.
It said
minimum three. Like that. Because it said here, surpasses the world of moving and non-moving creatures. That's what the fourth one is. Means you're going around the Lord, but that fourth one means you're crossing the universe. So sometimes you see three, sometimes you see four, because three is standard. But let's say during Kartik, when you do extra service, then it's you go four. So you're doing more. And by that, then it says you cross beyond.
First thing that comes to mind when you read all of this is that we have done all of this, and all of us have done all of this all of time, so that's it. We are going back. We got it. It's done.
Okay. Now that you've done that and accomplished that, now what are you going to do? Yeah, you just continue. But if it's like, hey, okay, done that, sit back on the couch, put up your feet, you know, get out your cold drink, you know, like that, done, it might slow things down. You understand? So The point is the devotee just performs these activities. It means all of these, why they work is because they're pleasing to Krishna, because it's in connection with Him. You know, with Him, the devotees, the devotional process, which is connection with Him. And so, for the devotee is that they're not doing these because of the benefit, they're doing because it pleases the Lord. So they just keep doing that. They just keep at it. And because they keep at it, then that's why it works nicely. So, mm-hmm.
Maharaj, from what I've gathered of people talking, there's some kind of Abrahamic pressure of going to heaven, and they're making it into some kind of pressurizing the congregation, the people, into its idea. You know, you have to follow this path, follow us, and you will go to that particular promised kingdom of heaven. And here we see that, you know, this kingdom of heaven that was promised is already with us. All you have to do is just be normal, nice devotees after.
Yes, but for those who do things because of material motives, then this will inspire them and they'll do. But besides this, you're also talking about pure devotional service. You know, that free from these material desires. So then with time, someone starts to notice that. So in the beginning, because, you know, lack of purity, they'll notice the benefits. And that will inspire them, they'll do. But by doing service, then they'll become purified. Then they'll start to notice the part about pure devotion and about pleasing Krishna. Because they've been hearing it all along, but then the heart gets pure enough where you start to catch that.
Yeah. Most of these words are from those scriptures, those Puranas which are categorized as mode of ignorance and mode of passion.
Yeah, so the people will do.
Yes.
So he's just showing it how great it is, because it's so much greater than any other pious activity or pious chitta or anything. So what you're establishing, it's not that that's the important thing. What you're establishing is that devotional service is the most powerful process. Technically, it's the only process. It even makes the materialistic processes work.
Mm.
So,
generally in India, like anybody who goes to temple, even today, they sit for a few minutes, but they don't know why they're sitting. It's to hear a katha, like.
No. Yeah, yeah.
And then in home also, if they open.
That's true. They go around, they see that, and then they all just sit down. And then after they sit there a while and look and they get bored, then they all stand up and then walk off.
All our parents used to say, you have to sit. It never made sense. They maybe became devotees, one devotee said. It's because every time there is some katha going on, and then it is like custom, you sit and hear for something. It's just,
yeah.
At least to respect them.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Funny how, yeah, they just do the... the secondary. But even just doing that, they're getting benefits. So that's a jnana sukriti. It's probably
even in the homeschool, they have to have this katha as a part of this. When the home ceremony happens, what they call satyanarayana puja.
Okay.
It doesn't complete without having a katha of Lord's pastimes.
Okay.
And in that, it's very clearly mentioned that this is the, like, how different kind of people get benefited by just hearing the past tense of the Lord.
Yeah, that's why it's called Punya Bhumi, because the tendency is to be pious. And it's just the natural. So you cultivate that, then they can turn it into devotion. And if you don't, then you'll have Westerners who are more Western than the Westerners. Yes. The Chaturmasya ceremony is observed during the 4 months of the rainy season in India, approximately July, August, September, and October, because it starts kind of in between, depends on the moon. So that's why he says approximately. Beginning from Shravan, during these 4 months, saintly persons who are accustomed to travel from one place to another to propagate Krishna consciousness remain at one place, usually a holy place of pilgrimage. During these times, there are certain special rules and regulations which are strictly followed. It is stated in the Skanda Purana that during this period, if someone circumambulates the temple of Vishnu at least 4 times, right? So that's during this time. Other times, if you just do 3, that's fine, but during this time, it's recommended 4. But it's not that you can't do more than four on the other times. Just if you're alone, you do what you like. If somebody's with you or somebody's waiting for you, then unless it's this time, Chaturmas, then only do three, because they'll count three and expect you to come, but you don't, then they start to get frustrated. Yeah. It is understood that he has traveled all over the universe, right? So that's the thing. By such circumambulation, one is understood to have seen all of the holy places where the Ganga water is flowing. And by following the regular principles of Chaturmasya, one can very quickly be raised to the platform of devotional service. So that's what that means. They can't travel, so then, but they can circumambulate the deity, and they get the benefit of having walked all over the universe to all the holy places, wherever the Ganga, all the holy places that the Ganga travels through. You know, that means that all the 14 planetary systems. So that's why four. Yes. Yeah, no, it's just part of the process. Yeah, before it would be, you know, it's like in the morning, then they go around three times, you know, just to make it part of the program.
Okay. Is it offensive to circumambulate the deity when the deity are open?
When open, no. They're supposed to circumambulate when they're open, not when they're closed.
When
they're open, because then the Lord's open for darshan, so that means he's open for interaction with those who are in the temple room.
Yes.
So then you offer your obeisances on the right side and like this, and then start your circumambulation. Go around, and then when you finish, then, you know, that's the thing. You come back to where you started, offer your obeisances, and then that's complete. It's when they're closed, you can't do circumambulation. Does that make sense? In other words, you might be chanting and going around the temple, just chanting, but you can't count that as circumambulating the deity, and you can't think I'm circumambulating. It's not a worship, because you can't do that at that time, because the Lord is not accepting circumambulation, because the doors aren't open. He's now doing his puja, so he's doing that.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So when they're sleeping or things like that, so you don't do those things. So devotees, because they may walk and chant, then if they happen to just, you know, walk, you know, around like that, because it's, you know, where else do you walk, you know? And so then, you know, it's not a problem. But you can't count that as the worship that's recommended here of circumambulating the deities. Yes.
This is the first time that in Ramayana comes like when Ahalya was to be married. She was Brahma's daughter and she was most beautiful. So all the demigods approached Brahma for getting married to her. So he tells, okay, you circumambulate whole universe and come, and then whole earth and come. Whoever comes first, and I give my daughter to you. And Gautama Rishi comes, he circumambulates cow, and he was given marriage. He was cow the king's mother.
Okay. So everybody else is out going around vying for, you know, who's faster, and then by the time they get back, she's already married, right? Yes. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Chaturvaram means four times around Vishnu. Circumambulation of the deity is superior to visiting Tirthas because it more quickly produces devotion to the Lord than going to Tirthas such as the Ganga. Right? Because it already includes, as it mentions. You go to the Tirtha, then you may or may not remember the Lord, but you're circumambulating, you're keeping the Lord in the center and remembering the Lord, so it's much more effective. Right? Because it's about making the deity the center of your life. That's the whole. Right? 1-2-137. Deity worship, from verse 85. Archan means, quote, offering items with mantra after introductory activities such as Bhuta Shuddhi and Nyas, end quote. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Shuddhi here means too Bhuta Shuddhi, purification of the elements of the body. Nyas refers to nyasas such as Matrika Nyas. These and other actions, purvanga karma, are performed prior to the offering of items, such as lamp and flowers to the deity. Offering items with mantra, this would usually be diksha mantras, along with these preliminary activities is called archan. So the deity worship means it includes the offerings that are there, but it includes the preliminary activities to qualify to take part. You know, the offering obeisances, achman, you know, you've properly taken bath and everything like that. Then coming in, respecting the guru, purifying the body, all these different things. So that's archan includes the preliminaries. Right? Otherwise someone will just think, we're just being practical, we don't care for all these things like that. So that's why in the Panchanga Puja, then you have the approaching the temple, you have collecting the paraphernalia, then you have yoga, in which you're bringing yourself and the paraphernalia up to the same transcendental position as the Lord. Then you're doing the worship. And then there's study about the practices and applying those practices. You know, so in other words, it's the tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya, that aspect where you're studying all about devotional service. So those five, that makes up the whole process. But here is that we're just talking about the worship itself directly. That includes the preliminary. So basically, if you look at it, you have to do the work. It means to do the worship, the 16 items, then you have to do the yoga, the preliminary. To do the yoga, you have to have the paraphernalia, so therefore the upadana. To be clean and qualified that you can do that, then there has to be abhigamana. You have to get up in the morning, take your bath, brush your teeth, all that kind of stuff. Right? And naturally, how do you know what to do unless there's swadhyaya you study?
Yes.
So it goes together.
Okay. Nyasas refers to? What does nyasas refer to?
Nyasas is that then you're going to be there. I think that from what I understand is different kinds of use of mantras and that with mudras for purification. Okay. So generally we do all these for the deity and the paraphernalia and everything like that. We don't use them so much for ourselves. If you're doing the Vaikuntha worship, then they'll use them for themselves also. But for us, we generally don't use it for ourselves.
Gita Press is Bhagavad Gita. Begins with the whole chapter of Nyas to do before the Bhagavad Gita reading.
Yes. So we don't, but that means you're taking it and putting it on the body and doing all that. We don't do that. Yeah, we put on the deity, we do for paraphernalia. We don't use for ourselves. No, it's just specifically us. It's bona fide as a Vaishnava thing. It's just in our line because of the aspect, we just don't do that. But you see that they use nyas, like the elderly gopis in Vrindavan after the Trinavarta pastime. Then they brought Krishna back, bathed him, you know, cow urine and all that, then put nyasas and all that for his protection. So for Krishna they're used, for his paraphernalia, but we just don't use them for ourselves. So
in Maharaj, you like to say the Diksha Mantra, which is the worship of the Guru?
No, that's there, but it's that the mantras that you get, all these Gayatri's Mula mantras and that's what you use when you're doing the worship. But, you know, sometimes devotees try to get all these other mantras and all that. You don't need to. Just your own mantras do everything. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not that the mantra, you don't have, means you can. If it's there, you're given that you're worshipping different deities, you have different mantras. But the point is, if you're worshipping Krishna as the avatari, then his mantras work for any deity. Any avatar. So, use the Krishna mantra for Nrisimhadeva, the Krishna mantra for Lajjadevi, it works, it's fine. Does that make sense? So, we have our mantras, we just use those. You know, others may have other mantras, they use them, that's what they should. So we have these, they're complete. Why do you need more? So. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.